What up, bowl cuts and bowlers? I haven't decided on what I'm going to call you guys yet. Happy New Year! What's up? It's your boy, Mikey C. Before we get into the episode, welcome back to us. We've been on hiatus. It's the first one of 2026. Very excited about that. Our first episode back is an interview episode. So we're going to be chatting with somebody that you might know from online in the magic world. New pal and fellow Canadian, and I'm very excited to have her on. Before we get into that, I'm going to do sponsors and whatnot up top so I don't have to subject our guest to it. Don't want to keep her waiting while we're ready and raring to go for some chats. So I'd like to tell you all that today's episode, as always, is sponsored by Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here, baby. Use the referral link in the description of the episode, get signed up, and get to trading right away. It is high season for Lorwyn Eclipsed. A lot of amazing cards out there, fantastic designs, so excited. We're recording at the height of the shortest preview season we've had in a while, and frankly, I'm ecstatic. The set looks phenomenal. We're probably going to talk about it some more on the episode, but make sure you sign up for Cardsphere. Get your cards up. Start straight up trading your cards across the whole friggin' country, baby. I haven't touched Cardsphere in a little bit because of the holidays and because, well, money is finite. But coming up on Lorwyn Eclipsed, I am going to be scouring Cardsphere for the perfect versions of many cards I need. Specifically, I'm going to need that Erduin foil. Not going to lie, that thing's going right into a command zone. But man, we've got such cool designs in the set, like Bree, Stoutarm, awesome stuff. The new Brigid is pretty friggin' cool to have in the command zone. Not going to lie, real green energy this year. I've come out of my funk of hating green because it's too powerful. But now I'm finding interesting stuff to do with it. Over the break, I built Beidour Ancestor's Voice. How about that? Anyway, make sure to sign up for Cardsphere.com. Get your cards here. Make sure you trade, send them, receive them, be happy, play some more Magic. We also have sponsoring us today, as usual. We got Bonebox Games. BoneboxGames.com. Use promo code BOWLCAST for a little something-something discount off your next purchase. Please, make sure you follow them online, too. They'll be advertising and showing off their new products in the new year. Very excited to see what they come up with. Always stoked to see what these guys do. Real thrilled with their deck boxes. I use them for everything now. I'm slowly transitioning away from like my regular, like, is it clamshell, I guess what you call these. But I've got new Bonebox Games deck boxes ready for the new decks that I just made for them. So I figured out which is going in what, and I'm pretty stoked about it. So next time you see me out and about at an event, well, I might have some Bonebox stuff to show off, as well as the decks inside. So BoneboxGames.com, promo code BOWLCAST. Shout out to Cardsphere. Shout out to Bonebox Games. Shout out to Morgan Sanchez. Shout out to Michael Solani. Shout out to you, the listener. We're so back. But also, shout out to Angelo and his whole playgroup. A bunch of maniacs they are. They sent all of us, actually, not just me, but Michael and Morgan, an altered soul ring, calling it the Bowl Ring, which is awesome, and a signed Armageddon, signed by the very guy who made us all go, wait, what the heck is going on here, from the live episode. That's right, Brandon, the subject of Angelo's story, the guy who plays Armageddon without a plan. They made tokens of them and sent them over. And I thought that was so sweet. So shout out to Angela and that whole play group. Really stoked about that. It really made my day. I completely forgot about it. And it came in and I had a real moment. It was real nice. Also shout out to the band Abrupt Decay. Canadian sweethearts, apparently. I had no idea that they're Canadian. And I just like posted about their album being awesome, and turns out they're also into Magic. They play a bunch of Cube. If you guys are listening to this, shout out to y'all over in Alberta, Canadian Sweetie Pies, Abrupt Decay. You wouldn't know it by listening to their music, but I bet they're a bunch of Sweetie Pies. All right? The music is so brutal and so messed up. I hope you listen to their newest album, which came out last year. And it's one of my top picks for album of the year. I haven't really nailed down my list, but Abrupt Decay's latest album, Callous Dowboy's latest album, Stay Inside's latest album. A lot of great albums this last year. I keep saying this year when I mean last year. Anyway, welcome back to Am I the Bowlcast. We're at it again, baby. Sit tight. It's gonna bowl. What does that mean? Sorry, Ken.
You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. It's me, your boy, Mike Carozza. Welcome back, or for the first time ever. That's pretty sick. Welcome. Tight. Awesome. You heard the intro that I did before this, so I don't know why I'm doing too much at this point, but we've got a guest today. We're doing an interview episode again, and we're so back for the first episode of 2026. Carolyn Wang joins us, a.k.a. Caro IRL. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm really pumped to have you on. I was telling you before we started recording that your posting is just chef's kiss. So much fun. So silly. And I've been very much enjoying it over the last, I don't know, when I found out about you. It's just, it's pretty recent, but it's been like a like every damn time.
Thank you so much.
Much fun.
It truly means the world to me. I feel like Michelangelo doing his magnum opus every time I hit post on something talking about bouncing on it, and somehow I incorporate a Magic card name into there. Truly, it's a craft that many people don't appreciate.
Yeah, you could just picture Carolyn just chiseling away at some marble every single time she hits tweet. It's
perfect. They're equivalent things.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly alike. Mm-hmm. I dare you. You know what? Email us at amithebolus@gmail.com. I dare you to drop a comparison that's more apt. And I'll tell you what, my inbox is going to be very quiet.
It's true.
For that reason.
It's true. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No other reason to keep it quiet.
I do have something to tell you that I did not tell you before we started recording. And that is that, like, you have permanently changed my vocabulary. During 50% of any given game of Commander that I play in, I will say, am I the Bolus?
Oh, shut up. No way.
Absolutely. It's iconic.
That's crazy.
It's so much fun.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I had no idea.
It's
Thank
a great
you.
Phrase.
Oh, that's sweet.
Thank
Look
you
at
for
me
it.
Rewiring the neural pathways of some people out in the world.
Yeah.
I'm shimming my shoulders. I don't know what to do with that. You know what? I'm blushing.
Definitely
it's
changed
nice.
My brain chemistry. That and pigs eat slop, you know?
Yeah. Pigs. Yeah. We took a break.
I'm sorry. Before. I don't know if this is a touchy topic.
No. This is what we're doing. This is the podcast. We hang out for a while and then we get into your story or your pet peeve. Mm-hmm. That's an episode. That's put a bow on it. That's done. But this is what it. Okay. We've been gone. We've been gone for weeks. The last episode that we recorded was before the pigs eat slop thing. But what a crazy post. What an absolutely bananas post. So crazy. It's so honestly iconic. Definitely going to be like 10 years down the line. Some Modern Horizons 11 set is going to be like pigs eat slop or legendary enchantment.
It absolutely rewired my brain chemistry. I think it's an all timer. Like, I can't think of a single other post in the Magic the Gathering community that has entrenched itself, like engraved itself so deeply into our collective consciousness, into everyone's psyche.
It was the first time in a while that we'd had like magic drama like that in quite some time. Like, everybody was united on Spider-Man being awful, and then people were all kind of like in unison being like, you know, Avatar's kind of all right, this is pretty good, except for the pigs eat slop thing. It just happened. I'm looking for it right now.
It was an extremely entertaining few days to be online. Pokey, if you're listening to this, you're a genius.
It is. I can't even read this. It's so long, but what a day. What a day to be online. Okay, so it was in. God, this was a while ago. Were we offline and we just didn't talk about this?
Have you not talked about this on your podcast?
I don't think we've talked about this. It just hasn't come up is what it is.
That's content,
We just
baby.
Haven't talked about it. It just re-entered the zeitgeist recently because Command Zone did an episode covering all the drama from the year, mm-hmm. and Josh and Rachel both. I think Josh, Rachel, and Jimmy went around the bend being like, the pigs eat slop thing. What do we think?
It's definitely top one. You know, like YouTube Rewind, like it's the number one thing that happened this year for me, at very least.
Oh, for me, it's Spider-Man being atrocious. I think that's got to be the number one for me. Pigs eat slop. I can't believe it felt more recent. That's how easy it is to recall. It's so part of us now that it's gotten reposted. You've done some variations of them on. Yeah, it's so fun. The pigs eat slop argument is so funny to me because no matter how you look at it, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about for sure. You know, if he doesn't have the disclaimer being like, how it's felt to be a competitive player off the top, you're like, great. What side are you arguing for? Mm-hmm. And then Josh did like a different, Josh Lee Kwai did like a different version of it on that Command Zone episode to kind of be like, yeah, no matter how you slice it, it's like, you can use it on either end. This pigs eat slop has become a new like arrow in the quiver of Magic posters. Sorry, Ken.
I know, it's awesome. It's given me a bunch of fuel for basically forever. do you think that there's any chance any of your audience doesn't know about this post? Would you like to give a summary?
I do. You know what? That's a good point. Let's just read it. Let's honor this thing by reading it.
That's awesome.
I pulled it up. It's in front of me. I've been scanning it just to see if I've missed anything. And honestly, it's all banger. It's so silly. Okay. Real Pokemoki posted, I wrote about what it's felt like to be a competitive Magic player for the past 5 to 6 years. And this is the post. This is the image. It's just it's black text on white background. And it's very much just, here it is. You have a favorite restaurant that you've dined at for many years now. You love it because they serve high quality food and are staffed by people who care about making the experience of eating at the restaurant good. One day, you notice a new item on the menu. Slop. What's this for? You ask the waiter. It's for the pigs. Pigs eat slop, says the waiter. Over time, a second flavor of slop shows up on the menu, then a third. Then you notice that some of the old menu items you used to love now come with a non-optional side of slop. All menu items are now designed with the pigs in mind, on the chance that one of them might try their hand at human food. The quality and preparation of the human food that's left on the menu also starts to degrade. When you ask the restaurant staff about it, they inform you that they no longer have the resources to make sure the human food is prepared correctly. They're too busy making slop. You notice that some of the restaurant patrons that you've become good friends with have stopped showing up. You stop showing up. You're upset at the direction the restaurant is taking and post about it on social media. You get two types of replies. One, I am a pig and I eat slop. Two, the restaurant is doing so well and has so many patrons. How can you be upset? Getting more customers into the restaurant has to be a good thing. This second comment is particularly frustrating because it naively assumes that the entire restaurant clientele wants the same things. But you don't want five different flavors of slop. You want human food that is prepared by people who are passionate about food and who care about the experience of dining at the restaurant being a good one. It's something you used to be able to get here, but can't anymore. You don't dare if there are more pigs eating at the restaurant now. You liked things just fine when there were no pigs, and contrary to the sentiment, things have gotten worse for you as the restaurant has grown, not better.
Banger.
I am a pig and I eat slop.
Banger. Heater.
Banger. Absolute heater. Bring out that Canadian. Let's go.
Yeah.
Heater's so good. I've been saying it more lately, and honestly, I feel patriotic. Is that the right vibe?
I think so. Yeah.
I think.
Wear it loud and proud.
I am a pig and I eat slop.
Sometimes one of the funniest replies that I got to one of my tweets in recent memory was when I posted about how I was actually really excited for the Avatar set. Because, you know, mm-hmm. growing up Chinese, there wasn't that many Asian people on TV until I discovered Avatar The Last Airbender existed. You know, it was like the first show.
That's how I felt about The Sopranos, not to make it about me again.
But yeah, Avatar was the first show that had like people who looked like me. You know, I was very excited to see Chinese characters on the screen. And then this person replied to it like, meh, regretful oink.
Jesus
regretful oink, because Jesus, you know, it's like Christ. Still UB is the implication, but that was very funny.
That's so funny.
Can I give my hot take about the pigs eat slop post?
Please.
My hot take is that I think a lot of people misinterpreted it as an indictment rather than as art. I think that the listen. I think that the post.
No, you can't have one without the other.
I think
so. The reason it's art is because it's coming for something.
I think that it was meant to evoke a strong emotional reaction, and I obviously don't think that Pokemoki intended to denigrate an entire population of Magic the Gathering players. Listen, I play Commander, and I'm friends with Pokemoki. I would consider us buddies. I've never actually met him in real life, but like, you know what I mean. That's
sure.
Oomph.
No internet
that's
friends. Yeah,
right?
There we go.
Yeah, but it's like, I think that when there's like a very strong metaphor in mind, you're not supposed to read it literally.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
But you are supposed to glean something from it. And here, if we were to apply this lens to Universes Beyond, it's pretty clear. If we were to apply this to just Commander design infecting how Standard is going, and or even how like Limited design has affected Sealed. You know what I mean? Like, this is so applicable to other things. And Josh Lee Kwai's like reversal of it had something to do with like being smart enough to read a book or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly. He was just like, what if we flip it? Then it's like,
I'm not sure
like,
the
okay.
reversal metaphor here.
I don't remember it clearly. Okay. I remember listening to it. And at the time I was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a pretty good point. But I'll also this has the beauty and of just like the succinct gut punch of pigs eat slop. There is such, oh my God, it's oddly, okay, I'm going to invoke something here that I don't think will make much sense to people, but I will say that I put the first time I read one period space, and remember, this is indented because it's a list.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I read one period space, I am a pig and I eat slop, all I could see was that sentence. The rest of it went away. The text disappeared. It was a white background. I felt the sublime. It was beautiful. It was just, I laughed so hard. And meanwhile, the entire time I'm like, I know this is about me, you know, whether I like it or not, if I am a pig and I eat slop, it is what it is. I don't mind Universes Beyond. In fact, I quite like it. Apparently a lot of the designs are very interesting and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Commander player. I write for EDH Rec,
of course.
For fuck's sake. Sorry, Ken. So I am a pig. I eat slop. I am a pig and I eat slop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw that and I was like, that's so funny that not only are you going against some, like, you know, I understand the post. Obviously, there's so much frustration here, but you've just given the people that you're insulting such a phenomenal rallying cry.
Yes. I do agree with that one.
It's so crazy that this hasn't come up on the podcast.
It definitely
yet.
Did invoke a very strong response. I would, you know how some people are like flexitarians?
No, what is, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
What?
Oh my God. Okay. there's some people who are like mostly vegetarian, but like if they've had like a big night out and they're like pretty sloppy drunk by the end of it, they might
go
to McDonald's and go for some nuggets. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. We just call those people not vegetarian.
Yes. However, I am actually a vegetarian of like quite a long time. And I think that it's totally fine to give yourself that label because I think it's better than nothing. You know, if the goal is like saving the earth or whatever, I would consider myself like a flexitarian slop eater. You know, I eat slop and I eat human food too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just because I'm in the drive-thru at a Wendy's doesn't mean that I can't have a steak at a steakhouse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't mean that I can't appreciate, like, just because I'm eating ice cream doesn't mean I don't appreciate some carrots. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It is, like, there's a nice balance. I'm here for all the food, baby.
Yeah,
all the food groups.
Ice cream, candy, chips.
Dip your real fruit in the,
and
in
carrots.
The slop.
Yeah.
And the carrots, yeah. Ice cream, yes.
That's, like, basically a line from Elf, I think.
You know what? Watch that one for the first time in a long time. And I got to tell you, I thought it was way longer. I thought it was like 4 hours long for some reason. I was confused why people love that movie. I avoided it for a long time. solid 90 minutes. Great time. What am I even talking about?
It's a tight 90 minutes, too.
It's really fun. Will
Ferrell, Zooey Deschanel. It's awesome.
Yeah. Although, a lot of really stupid stuff happening. You got to really suspend your disbelief when you're like, Zooey Deschanel, you're showering at work and Will Ferrell's just there singing with you and there's no panic in that. Mm-hmm. You're living in New York City.
Yeah, I would have called the police, but it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's childish whimsy. Trumps everything whimsy. Else.
Yeah. And then who was the, who played the Santa? He was so sweet. Ed Asner, I want to say. Just like the
right.
I realized the perfect Santa is the guy who voices the old man in Up. And that makes the most sense to me. He's real sweet.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. So here's first, I know we're deeper in than I wanted to be before I asked you this, but
yes.
Where do you want people to find you online? I should have done this way earlier.
That's okay.
And what do you do in the magic space? Introduce yourself to the listeners.
Oh my god, yeah.
The shit posting. Sorry,
yeah, I'm just this lady who showed up and started talking immediately about slop.
Honestly, though, but that's what's up. That's what's up. We're having a good time. Tell people where they can find you and what they should know you for and what you want them to know you for.
Oh gosh, I'm a terrible content creator. Yeah. So I'm Carolyn. I am maybe best known for posting on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at @Caro_IRL. And I also stream on Twitch. You can find me there under the same handle, Caro_IRL. I play a lot of Limited. I play Cube. Getting Hell my toes yeah. into other formats like Legacy and Standard and Modern. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Cube is the best way to play Magic.
Yes.
Period.
I agree.
It really is.
Wow. That's a bold statement from a Commander podcast, but I wholeheartedly agree. I'll die.
Commander is my favorite format. It's the one that I will play all the time, anytime. Cube is the best. A good cube will make you feel like God. Period. Oh,
it's
man.
True. That's the closest that you can get to divinity.
I cannot believe I keep bringing up this cube because it's like the one that I played the most besides like the like a pseudo drafting a vintage cube without actually diving in because I don't want to get smashed for being bad at drafting. But like the best cube I've played in real life has to be Angelo Guerrera's Innistrad cube. He's got a fantastic Innistrad cube. And I remember when they printed Universes Within versions of the Street Fighter and the Stranger Things kids, he was like, oh my God, this art is Innistrad. It's like, it's set on Innistrad, so they're cube eligible.
Oh, that's awesome. So and it's like creepy, spooky too. Yeah.
Exactly. Banger. It's perfect. And so he'll update the cube sometimes. And I'm just like, ooh, next time we go to Innistrad or next time we have like some weird, like, you know, every now and then we'll get like something in Modern Horizons where it's like this uncommon in black is doing something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait a second, that flavor text referred to a gravestone, that Avacyn or whatever. You're like, great, perfect. It's cube eligible now.
Yeah. Sign me the heck up.
Oh, it's so much fun. If you do get a chance to draft it, you're going to have a blast. I mean, one of the times I drafted it, I opened Gristlebrand, immediately was like forcing Reanimator.
Hello? Oh my God.
Yeah. Gristlebrand.
Inject this into my veins.
It was perfect. Pack 2, Hullbreaker Horror, and then pack 3, Unburial Rites. And I was like, I don't care.
Oh my God.
Life is good. Everybody's happy. I'm the happiest though. Oh, I also had an Avabrook Caretaker, which was like, what are you talking about? Am I Sultai Reanimator? Am I killing it too hard right now?
That's like
I was.
The hottest thing I've heard this year.
I know. It's the most f-ing fun. Sorry, Ken.
That's doing something to me.
Oh, fancy fun. So Carolyn, you mentioned that's doing something to me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
any format where I can reanimate a Grizzlebrand, I'm all in.
Unfortunately, not Commander, which is the biggest bummer part about bringing up that cube.
Yeah,
it's
the biggest negative for Commander.
I mean, excuse me, if Grizzlebrand were legal, oh my God,
your podcast would have a lot more stories.
I mean, I would it though. It feels like there's some cards that get unbanned and then nobody hears about them ever again. And it's almost like them being on the ban list is what made them popular or like made them topics of conversation at all. Mm-hmm. Like Coalition Victory is so silly. I haven't seen it once.
It's true.
What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Gifts Ungiven, anyway. Though. Banger. Banger unbanning.
See, I'm not a Tudor guy, so I don't touch it. But do I have a copy? I don't like. I'll tell you what, tooting's fun, but tutoring not for Mikey. That's what's happening.
Are you
play a lot of 1v1 formats? Mm-hmm, it sounds like so. When you play Commander, do you tend to be just as spiky, or do you also go like, okay, this is my place to kick my feet up and do something stupid?
Yeah. So my origin story as a Magic player is actually that I started out as a Commander only player. I started playing Magic as a fully adult, which is quite rare from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I started playing when I was in university. Shout out University of Western Ontario's Western Magic the Gathering Association. I think they've changed their name since then. But yeah, I started playing at Magic Club. It was mostly Commander players there. So I started out by playing with a pre-con. It was the Savin the Chronoclasm precon, I remember. The one that had Dockside Sorceress in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing. The precon was actually quite bad.
Precon is awful.
Yeah,
I had a Savin deck for a little while, and I just took it apart. It is RIP BraftHaunters.deck.
Yes.
But Savin, that precon was bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was my indoctrination to Magic. So for a long time, actually, I was a Commander only player and a sometimes FNM draft player for the longest time until the last 4 or 5 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I would say that these days I'm a little bit more of I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. If I'm in an LGS trying to play Commander, I'm not really that excited to play low powered Commander with strangers.
Tell me more. Are you a CDH girly, or are you
CDH girly. Yeah.
Okay, good. Who do you play?
I play Yuriko for the most part. And I have a couple of probably more realistically bracket four, but I like to think they're bracket 4.5 decks that are just meta stuff that maybe at some point were pretty good. I had a Slicer deck that was pretty good before the, Jeweled Lotus ban,
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the difference between 5 and 4 is the meta, frankly. Yeah.
And I also have a budget Jetmir, Hate Bears deck that's CDH adjacent, but I feel Stacks is that deck was okay. It was okay. When I'm playing with strangers, I like to be playing CDH because I like that people are trying to win and you're trying to push the limits of what the format can be.
That's fun. Yeah, I get it. I understand. It's just kind of there's more of an understanding when you go in with CDH. You're this is what we're getting up to. No hard feelings. I want to win. Whereas the kind of Magic I'm all about, frankly, when it comes to Commander is I want to see what you've come up with. I want to see you do something absolutely stupid. That's why one of my favorite deck builders is the co-host of this one of the co-hosts of this podcast, mm-hmm. Michael Solani, Games Freak SA. Shout out and happy new year, sweet boy. He comes up with the dumbest ideas. I don't know if I'm spoiling anything, but I guess little Easter egg for anybody who reads Michael's stuff or watches his videos. But he built a Saheeli Sun's Brilliance deck. I want to say that's the one. It's the mythic from Lost Caverns of Ixalan, which is she's a 2-mana mythic, literally an blue red 2/2 legendary creature human artificer, and then you pay blue red, tap it, create a token that's a copy of another target creature or artifact you control except it's an artifact. In addition to its other types, it gains haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. And I'm not going to give everything away, but he found a way to turn that deck into just making infinite copies of one thing. And the thing he chose to make infinite copies of is possibly the dumbest thing
I'm listening
ever. So I'm going to tell you.
Tell me more.
But Ken, you're going to need to, you got to bleep this out. We're going to, just in case Solani is trying to keep it a secret. He made the exact number of copies of, 3 times each card of Magic, just of. Now, is a card that you're going to look up.
Yeah. I'm fully subscribed.
And I'm not going to say anything more. We can actually hey Ken, maybe we delete this next section.
Oh my God. Well,
I know.
That's awesome.
I know. And so he plays wow. with a lantern of insight effects and everything. It's insane. It's so funny. It's so funny. And so when I play Commander, if someone's like, the whole thing is setting up for this huge punchline, I'm about it.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big engines guy, so I like to get the time to put together like 7 or 8 pieces on the battlefield that are like, and now I have 70 triggers to figure out. And that's the fun for Magic for me. I did try my hand at CDH, and I'm just not cutthroat enough for it.
I understand.
My spiky side only comes out at pre-releases, basically, or when I'm playing one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then I'm very lenient at pre-releases with takebacks, but I'm gonna play to win.
I feel like inside of me there are two goals, and one of them is like a CDH player, and the other one is like the worst jank 6-card combo you can possibly assemble. Like those are the
Tell
two
me more
kinds
about that
of
side.
Commander decks that I like to play. Oh man, you were talking about the Savin like brash taunter dot deck. I actually did build that deck also.
Oh no way! A bunch
of different pieces like damage dealers, whatever. I want to. If there's one thing that I love in life, it's a non-deterministic combo.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, a manual
Built
storm
tension.
Deck. You know? Yeah. It's awesome. I also, at one point, had this Krark and Thrasios deck that I tried. I really tried my best to make it, like, as powerful as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wasn't that good. I was like, yeah, I'll put Thrasios in here instead of Sakashima paired with Krark to give it that extra color. You know, green is nice. Gets you access to Manamorphos. That kind of stuff. I just really wanted to play Manamorphos and Krark together, I think. I just wanted to cast Manamorphos as many times as I possibly could and see how many coin flips I could possibly win and see if I could, you know, win in a really, really stupid way by, you know, storming off like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we, and you heard it here first, guys. Storming off is stupid.
Yeah, it's famously stupid, a not very powerful thing to do.
Yeah. I mean... Krakashima is such a menace at any table. It's just, it's so funny too. It's such a troll's deck. It's great.
Yeah.
I remember I watched at Commander Sealed, I watched a game between some people playing some CDH and somebody was playing a Krakashima deck and they just pulled out, they tried to flip two coins at the same time when they had them both in play. They were like, here we go. And they just like kept flipping coins twice. It was so good. It was so fucking stupid. Sorry, Ken. What a spectacle the whole thing can really be. And it's so delightful. I love this game. Mm. I love how silly you can get with it, but I also love that there's space for people who just want to execute.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
I also love that you warned me that I can cuss as long as I apologize to Ken. And I haven't apologized to Ken even once.
But you haven't sworn? Oh, but you have said shit posting, which is...
Oh, that's true. Is that a swear?
Sorry, Ken? Question mark?
I'm sorry, Ken.
Posting feels like a verb now, and so it's like it's part of it.
Yeah. It's like PG.
It is. Canadians.
I'm making
it
a face.
That's the thing about Canadian media is that we don't, especially
sorry,
in Quebec,
Ken.
Like, yeah, we're going to go with sorry, Ken, I think. I don't know. Posting's fine, I think.
How else am I supposed to describe
the
craft?
Rules,
poop posting? Yeah, it doesn't ring the same.
Poop posting?
Poop.
Ugh.
Poop.
Ugh.
Who among us hasn't tweeted from the toilet?
Who among us? And you know what? I'll call you a liar if you tell me you haven't.
It's true.
Amithebolus@gmail.com.
That's where my greatest posts originate, you know? You know that one statue of the thinker? We're bringing up classical art, you know, a lot today. But you know the statue of the thinker? That's me. That's me on the throne.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
On my
throne, you're thinking, your legs going numb.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's when genius strikes.
Yeah, I'm producing nuggets of genius in more than one way. No,
and
nope,
we'll be right
nope,
back.
Cut that one. Sorry, Ken.
Are you asking Ken to cut it?
I don't know. I don't know
about cutting it, but Ken,
if it's entertaining enough, if you think that it's like not too gross,
it is crass, but it's like, what am I?
Potty humor.
Sorry, Ken. Yeah, it's whatever. It's a joke. You made a joke. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Magic.
Thank you.
I guess now's a pretty good time to get into like your bolus story or your pet peeve.
Yes.
What do you have for us today? Which of the two are we going with?
All right. Okay. So
tell the audience before you get into it by saying like, this was all done very quickly, very short notice. So I didn't give you a lot of turnaround time to think about this.
Okay. That said, I don't have to think that hard to think of a story where I was a bolus, where I was
okay.
Where I was an asshole. Sorry, Ken.
Sorry, Ken. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Part of me is like, villain, I never want to beat that one. Mm-hmm. You think you're the villain? Well, I mean, if you play CDH, to casual players out there, it's a lot of villainous behavior, like myself included. I'm not like, I, you know, but go ahead. Tell us what you're thinking.
I have a story you want to bring to the table? From the before bracket times.
Okay.
This was when I would have considered myself like a newer player at this point in time. I had probably been playing Magic for 2 years at this point.
Okay.
And the story concerns my deck, which at the time was like my baby. It was the first commander deck that I had ever built on my own. I remember buying the cards for this deck lovingly off of TCG Player and waiting like the 3 weeks to ship to Canada at the time.
three weeks is pretty good for TCG in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. It was during, you know, my last semester of university.
Okay.
And I had just gone to Magic earlier that year. So I shipped the cards to my address at my university residence, and they arrived just in time for March
20th, 2020. Oh, no.
I know. Yeah. So I didn't actually get to play with that deck for like another year after this, but it was like my baby. I loved it, you know?
Okay.
I was so excited for this deck. It was Trulane Teller of Tales.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like, it was a typical, I don't know, a newbie goes on EDH rec for the first time deck, right? Like picking, you know, like the 60 cards or so that look the coolest to me and then buying a copy of those, even if they were like objectively bad, right? I remember I had like a couple of like landfall things in there. I had some like cheap and like bad mana dorks. I don't think any card in there individually was like over $5. I had like cards that like didn't necessarily synergize that well, and they were just like really expensive and didn't really do anything extra that the deck didn't already do. Like, I think like Karametra was in there. I think like Mirari's Wake was one of my pet cards at the time. I love me a mana doubler.
Mirari's Wake. Sure.
I love a card that you drop on turn 5 and that does nothing. You know, immediately. Yeah, that's what I
love. Height of efficiency.
Absolutely.
We love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We live.
Yeah. And I think I had splurged at the time on like a Craterhoof Behemoth. Or no, I got it from a Jumpstart box the year after or during 2020. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So nice. This was my deck. This was my baby. And I was playing it at this local game store, and the people that I was playing against, like, they would like ask me what the deck was. And I was like, oh, like, okay, I may be the villain here for describing my deck as a 7. It was
okay.
It's the meme, right? Like, my deck is a 7. Yeah. And I didn't really know. I was like, yeah, this deck like can turbo out a bunch of things pretty quickly, but like I don't really have any way to give my mana dorks haste to get a bunch of draw and like put a land on the battlefield triggers with Trulane. I don't have any infinite combos in here. Like my curve toppers are like whatever, like 6 drop landfall creature that like makes a 4/4 whenever you
Rampaging Baelots.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was my finisher. Or like Galta Primal Hunger, the like the 12 tall that gets like its cost reduced. Like those are my finishers.
Hell yeah.
You know, like they were not overwhelming by any sense of the word. And like maybe sometimes I would draw into my, you know, my Craterhoof Behemoth. And maybe sometimes I would be able to like Eldarmy's Call into it. But I didn't have like that many tutors in it. I didn't have that many ways to win. But like the people that I was playing with, they like they thought that my deck was CDH. And I took issue with that. I didn't think that it was CDH by any means. So that's I want to know your consensus. Do you think I was a villain for playing this deck? Because I truly did think that it just like folded to board wipes. And I was like, sometimes I would have this overwhelming board and I'm like, yeah, that's because you didn't play removal. You know, if you just played removal against Trulane, I don't have anything
gone.
And I need to recast it. I don't have any protection spells or anything like that, right? So I'd be sitting there with this huge board. I'm like, yeah, of course I built a huge board. We're playing Battlecruiser Magic. None of us are doing anything to interact with each other. So obviously the deck that can produce the most mana and spend the most mana is going to have the most overwhelming board state.
Yeah.
Am I the bonus?
I think I need more information because like, what's this pod like that you meet somebody who says my deck's a 7.
Yeah.
It doesn't have many ways to close out the game, but it's still Trulane, which means you're going to ramp and draw cards. It's not, it's an easy deck to evaluate in the sense that you're like, no matter what, you get Trulane out, you're going to get stuff popping off. It's just going to happen. You're going to get a board. So a seven is like the baseline for a deck like this. But like if someone's running a seven, which now we could just also safely say bracket three is the new seven.
Bracket three.
So somebody just shows up to a bracket three game and isn't packing at least like a board wipe and some removal. Then you're not playing bracket three. You're not playing a seven. A seven is going to be able to interact with the like. So either way, were they like playing up? Like, were you playing against some janky deck that was like all memes, or were you playing against like other equally scary commanders? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh, let me see. I think they were definitely real decks. Like, they weren't like jokey decks. These are played by competent players who had been playing Magic for longer than I did and had more sizable collections than I did.
Okay. So they have know-how at the very least is what we're getting at here.
Yeah, because
I know
a lot
of people who've been playing forever.
Like, I'm trying to think of some like pods that I remember from this time. Like, I remember there was a Prosper deck that was around.
Prosper's
a good commander. Like, come on.
Prosper was like one of my signature decks for a while, and I literally just took him apart last week.
Mm-hmm. It's a banger.
Rest in peace. Total banger. Love the deck. Nobody likes playing against it, so I took it apart.
It's like one of those commanders that's like a little too good that it ends up, you know, nerfing itself.
Right? Yeah, so it's kind of like, hey, in a pod against Trulane, you're kind of like, this is pretty well matched, you know?
I think
like,
so.
I think even the advantage might be on the Prosper player. Like, you should be able to do something with that.
Black
like,
is a good color.
Black is the best color. I'll go ahead and I'll put that on Wax. Go f*** yourself. Sorry, Ken. How dare you?
Oh, come it's on. Definitely it, top was five. It was funny.
It was great.
I would say top two.
Top two's. What are you going with number one?
Blue. Duh.
Blue? Okay, you're definitely a CDH player.
Oh, come on. Okay. There is...
This is how you can tell a casual player from a CDH player. Ask them the best color of Magic, and they'll say... If they say green, it's casual.
Have you looked at the Power 9? Come on.
I mean, it's so clearly blue is pushed, but blue has not been getting a lot of love recently in terms of like, it's kind
of
been...
Yeah, in terms of commander staples, I can't really think of anything that's like...
Anything new? Honestly, that'd be a fun thing to check out right now. I'm going to go to EDH Rec and find out what blue's latest staples are. While I ruminate on this idea that, okay, so misrepresenting your deck... when you just built it and haven't had a lot of reps with it and stuff. Come on now. That's not bolus territory.
Okay, I have more information to offer, but I would feel like probably paints me in a worse light. Again, I would have considered myself still a new player. I was running Grand Arbiter Augustine in the deck.
I mean, look.
Like, I still think that it didn't push my deck to being, you know, as was the fashion at the time, using this 1 out of 10 scale. I didn't think it pushed it to like an 8 or like 9 out of 10. In my mind, from what I had seen on like r/EDH, a 9 or a 10 was like solidly CDH territory. And this deck definitely was not nearly good enough to be CDH.
Here's the thing about sevens. When we were talking about the old, and this is what the bracket system, the threes.
That's so good.
Okay.
They cooked.
They did well. I have an update on new blue staples, by the way. And we did get one recently, and it's Sink into Stupor, and it makes the most sense.
It's
Sink
a good
into
one.
Stupor, Fairy Mastermind, both of those are from recent times. Archmage of Runes from Foundations, also on the list.
I sort of feel like you can't... Okay, hot take. I feel like you can't really count anything that's just an untapped land on the backside as a staple. Like,
honestly, what I mean?
It's just too
honestly
free.
Fair.
It's so free. You know,
free.
I would run it no matter what it said on the other side. And
but
the other side just happens to be good. Sink into Stupor is really good.
It's really messed up. It's also like Hydroelectric Specimen is also great, which is like the other uncommon MDFC land from Modern Horizons 3 that can enter untapped, which is like the 1/4 for 3 with flash. When it enters, you may change the target to target instant or sorcery spell with a single target to Hydroelectric Specimen.
That's
like the
banger.
One time. It's great. But Sink into Stupor's a messed up card.
It's so good.
return target spell or non-land permanent to an opponent controls to its owner's hand.
Yeah.
For 3 mana, or you can play it as a land and BD. Oh my god, come on now. That's a banger. That's a beating of a card. I run it in exactly one deck.
But this set also came out like now 2 years ago.
That's a good point. It hasn't been, I can't see too many from more recent than that. Mm-hmm. I think Foundations gets it because even then it's the end of the year of that year, which would have been 2023. End of 2024.
What year is it?
Oh my god, it's 2026 technically.
It's crazy.
I hate that 2026 has a terrible ring to it. But what I was saying is, like, I don't think you can be the bolus if you misevaluate your deck. You're just going in knowing what you know, and you're like, I've done my research. Everything online tells me it's this. I've goldfished. I can get to turn 7 and close it out with, like, if I luck into a Craterhoof or Tutor for it. But otherwise, I'm grinding into turns 10 and 11. Like, I think that that's, like, a fair assessment to make. And Grand Arbiter, I got lots to say about Grand Arbiter.
Yeah?
Grand Arbiter, okay. I get it. It's a game changer. I understand that it taxes all your spells. So does Rhystic Study. Rhystic Study should read spells you cast. It should.
It should.
If you're playing it right, if you're playing against it right.
I was just thinking about Rhystic Study.
A Grand Arbiter level. But meanwhile, it's also like a ramp piece. It's great. I love Grand Arbiter Argustan. Yeah. I'm not going
to
lie.
To be clear, in my deck, Grand Arbiter only reduced the cost of Chulainn, pretty much just Chulainn. Everything else I didn't play that many cards that weren't green in it, like that weren't mono green in it. So I didn't really get much.
You kept mentioning green cards.
It was all like green ramp dummies because it was my first commander deck. Of course, I'm going to play green fatties. Everyone starts off as a Timmy in the first like 2 years of their Magic
career.
That's
how I started. I started with a green deck, and then for a while, I just had no green decks. I was not fucking with green. Sorry, Ken. Now I've got. Recently, I built the last like couple decks I built have been green, except for Marchesa, Dealer of Death. I built Baedor, Ancestor's Voice, Genova, Ancient Calamity, and I've built, my God, the Master Transcendent. Those are like some of the last couple decks I put together, and they're all green, which. If you've known me, listeners, shut up. Come on. Can't the person grow anymore?
Yeah.
What? It's illegal to grow. Come on.
Yeah.
Let me have a moment.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I still do hate green.
God forbid a boy boss enjoys things.
Shout out.
Come on, guys.
Shout out. God forbid a boy boss enjoys things. God, you're silly. It's fun.
Thank you.
I said that like I'm surprised. I asked you on specifically for this. I just wanted to start the year off with a jokey one. I've been having so much fun chatting with you. I say not the bolus. Why would you be? Before we go, because I think that's like the point of the show. We did the bolus talk. Before we go, we are in the middle of the shortest pre-release season, preview season. Take two. Ken's not going to edit this. I don't want you to. Take it easy, Ken. Chill. Don't worry about it. We are currently in the shortest preview season in a long time. Lorwyn Eclipsed is just being rattled off right now. And frankly, it's pretty sick. I haven't felt this way about a Magic set in quite some time. I am really, really enjoying these cards. The art, the vibe. I've been loving it. Carolyn, I want to ask you, have you seen any of these previews and do you have opinions on any cards in particular that you'd like to chat about today?
Oh, man. Let me pull up Scryfall.
Oh, yeah.
Pull up these
Shout
previews.
Out to Scryfall, the load-bearing pillar of all of Magic, period.
It's probably my most used bookmark across all of my devices. Like, same, if I'm opening same. Up my browser, there's like a 50-50 shot I'm opening Scryfall or literally anything else.
Can I tell you something? If it wasn't for the fact that my tabs immediately went to like my like favorites icons and I could choose from some of them, I would have Scryfall as my homepage. if it was like, no, you either select a homepage, I'd be like, well, it's got to be Scryfall, right? It's like the first thing I check for most of the time. I dirtle on Scryfall so much. It's the best. So shout out to Scryfall.
Shout out Scryfall. Thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Send them money.
Give them money.
I'm not sponsored. I'm not sponsored by Scryfall at all. And actually, Magic
I actually don't think I would take a Scryfall sponsorship. I want to give you money. Please don't give me money.
That's what I'm saying. Straight up, honestly, send them money. If there's anything you... Post-holiday season, your pockets might be hurting, but you know what isn't? Magic the Gathering. And that's mostly because Scryfall fucking rips. Sorry, Ken. Scryfall's doing great. I have a lot of cards that I love in this set. I've been really enjoying the like the hybrid mana evoke elementals that they've been that they've been slowly trickling out. They've been showing us. Absolutely. I have to assume there's only going to be five.
Yes.
They can't be all 10.
Well,
although maybe. they did No, you know what? They're doing the opposite of what the Shocklands included are. Because they're not doing like enemy and allied, but they're definitely doing like...
Yeah, they have the enemy Shocklands, but not the allied ones.
No, maybe. that's not true. They have the Rakdos one. They have Blood Crypt, which is allied.
Yeah, you're right.
They have Hollowed Fountain, which is also allied, but they've also got...
Might be.
I think Temple Garden is one of them. I don't know. But that said, I just, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, well, these lands are gorgeous. And then you've got these evoke elementals that are pretty friggin' cool.
It's awesome. Those are so good. Draw them early game, draw them late game. Amazing.
So good. Yeah. So good. Incredible. They're going to be fantastic and limited. I already can't wait. Okay. Full disclosure. I have not bought a sealed box of Magic product in a little while because I just haven't been super stoked on the sets. Like, I think I got a box of Spider-Man gifted to me, but that's like the last one I had, and I didn't get Edge of Eternities. I liked the set, but I didn't get one. But this set, I was like, it's two boxes pre-ordered, easy peasy, and we're making sure that we're drafting. This is going to be a very fun set to draft. I can already tell. It looks bananas. Yes. It looks silly. It looks fun.
Shout out Spotlight Lorwyn Eclipsed in Toronto in February. I don't know if this episode is going to come out before then, but I will be there.
It should, yeah.
Playing the main event.
Awesome.
Playing some limited. So excited.
Good luck. I can't wait to see what everybody gets up to at that. I am still trying to find out whether or not I can even come down there.
What?
I'll tell you more. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll give you the brief, a brief overview is that while I was in Vancouver last year, there was a flood at my apartment from the kitchen sink.
No.
Not because we forgot to turn it off or anything, but because our neighbor upstairs keeps putting food in their drain and we're on the first floor. And so it just like backed up into our apartment.
Oh my God.
While we were away. And a friend of ours who came over to water our plants came over late at night, saw it was flooding and went, oh, shit. Sorry, Ken, and started cleaning up and took care of everything up until like 2 a.m. And then we have to replace our floor. Our floor is all it's warped and messed up, and there's a chance that stuff can grow on it. So we have to have our building change it out.
Shout out your friend who dealt with all that. What a trooper.
Shout out to my sweet, sweet boy, Alessandro Bisceglia. I've known him since I was a child. We met each other on our first day of, I think, grade one.
Alessandro.
Literally just,
I would die
shout
for you.
Out to, shout out to Alessandro, my sweet, sweet boy. Thank you so much for everything you've done. But yeah, I mean, I don't know when they're supposed to start hacking away at my floors yet. But if I do end up coming down to Toronto, I'm pretty sure I'll find like a couch to stay on and I'll drive down and I'll come hang out at the event. Hopefully,
awesome.
if I can make it happen. Either way, this is the set that's going to get me to crash on a couch. I'll tell you that much. This is it.
Beautiful. Lovely.
This is it.
Can't wait.
I'm so stoked. Is there a commander in this, or rather a legend that you've seen from this set, whether from the commander product or the standard set that's caught your eye that you think, okay, now this I can maybe see.
I think so. Yeah. There's so many cards in here that are just like tickling my fancy.
I know.
Like obviously all the evoke elementals are awesome. Hex and Squelcher, people are talking about as like a CDH hate bear, same as Glenn Alendra's answer. Sorry, I should talk about what these cards are. Hex and Squelcher is a one and a red 2/2 that can't be countered, has ward, pay 2 life. And it also says spells you control can't be countered and other creatures you control have ward, pay 2 life. heater.
Pretty nuts.
It's basically like a silence effect. So you can go off on your turn without anything you do getting countered. Awesome. Dang.
Does this mean that something like Summary Dismissal comes back to be a meta card?
I don't think so. If
Hexing Squelcher comes about, exile all other spells.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a CDH player, so I'm not going to put money on that.
I don't know. I think just like the counter spells that people are going to have are always going to be like Force of Will. You know, they're always going to be playing that. So it's just like there's always going to be regular counter spells running around. I don't know if Summary Dismissal is like quite good enough.
I don't know. I'm not really
that tuned in to the CDH like meta.
I see.
We'll see.
I just look at Hexing Squelcher and I go, I don't know. I've got some janky decks that I don't want. Mm-hmm. I kind of just want to be able to do the thing. I mentioned my Marchesa, a Dealer of Death deck earlier, and
it's
the Crime Marchesa from OTJ. The whole deck is literally like, I'm going to take other people's creatures. I'm casting spells that take creatures from other players' graveyards, and those tend to be expensive. And if that gets countered, I just time walk myself. No thanks. I'll put the Squelcher in that. But honestly, anywhere else, I'm kind of like, I don't know how badly I need this. Counter spells aren't everywhere in the format I'm playing.
Yeah.
But it's bananas. It's pretty. I mean, you also mentioned Glenelendra's Answer.
Yes.
Is that
that's 2 blue-blue. It's an instant. Says it can't be countered, and it says counter all spells your opponents control and all abilities your opponents control. Create a 1/1 blue and black fairy creature token with flying for each spell and ability countered this way.
Oof, you
slam this at the end of a stack battle.
Slam this against me if I just board wiped and killed all my creatures with a bunch of aristocrats effects, like I want to do. And you play this against me, I will cry. I might cry. I think I will.
Wow.
I promise I'll cry. I'll make it happen. I'll make myself cry.
Is emotional manipulation covered under the comprehensive rules, do you think?
It's not manipulation if that's what you want to happen. I'm just making sure that you get what you want out of this exchange.
I see. other cards that I'm very excited for include Formidable Speaker, which is Jean-Emmanuel Dupraz's World Champs card. When it enters, you can discard a card, and if you do, you search your library for a creature card, reveal it, put it in your hand, and shuffle. 1 mana, tap it to untap another target permanent. Awesome. Cube banger, for sure. And it's like a tutor on a stick.
Absolutely. It's, you know what, the one-off Survival of the Fittest on the ETB is great and all, but the untap another target permanent on a mono green card? Okay. Let's see what we can get away with. Yeah. Shout out.
See you.
Is there a legend in the set that kind of is like making you think like, I might be able to tinker with this bad boy. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Abigail Eloquent First Year is one that peaked my eye. You knew it.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I had it pulled up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You know Incredible. Me so well, Mike.
Tell me more. Tell me why you like it.
Yeah. So Abigail is a 2-drop that has flying, first strike, lifelink. And when she enters, up to one other target creature loses all abilities. And they get a flying counter, a first strike counter, and a lifelink counter. And it's a 1/1. So it's like a 2-drop. And what I'm thinking is, like, this is the jank wolf inside of me talking. Is you load
That's what I'm saying.
Your...
Hell yeah.
You load your deck up with, like, bad creatures. With, like, really well-statted creatures. Uh-huh. That have bad effects on them. So, like, for example,
Death's Shadow?
Yeah, Death's Shadow. Death's Shadow. You have to have, you know, enough life to make it so that it doesn't kill itself immediately on entrance. But, like, come on. If you have, like, a 1/1 Death's Shadow and you put an Abigail, that's awesome. You get a whatever.
13-13. Flying first strike, lifelink.
That's awesome. Yeah, or like right now, there is a 1-mana 4/1 in standard, but it has Defender on it. So imagine this.
Oh, that's right.
Turn one that into turn 2 Abigail, and you get a 4/1 flying first strike lifelink that can attack that turn. That's awesome. Oh my god. And then like it's in white, so you get access to blink effects, right? Ephemerate,
that's right.
My Beloved, Flickerwisp, My Beloved, and you get to just do this over and over again. Uh-huh.
So first of all, Abigail is hybrid Orzhov. That's the cost. But did you know that Ephemerate is like a $9 card right now?
What?
Did you know that Ephemerate is like in Canada?
Wow.
Like a $9 card right now?
Oh my god.
Ephemerate, the common for Modern Horizons. That's already seen.
It's a common.
Many reprints.
Yeah.
Many reprints. a common that has been printed in Strixhaven's Mystical Archive. It's been on the list.
Yes.
It's been on the Modern Horizons Time Shift one. It's been in Secret Lairs, of course. A common from 2019 is a $9 card in Canada. $9 Canadian, probably like $5 American because we're so fucked up here. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, I feel like often, you know, you just have to smile and nod to yourself and be like, at least I got the healthcare.
At least I get to see a doctor and not have to worry about ruining my future just to go see a doctor tell me, hey, you're fat. Have you tried exercising before? And I go, yeah, we've been through this already.
I'm having that copium all day.
Yeah. That's the copium that we got to, just straighten the veins. Straighten the veins. I don't know why I knew that you would be like Abigail, but I had it pulled up and I was like, I bet you're going to want to talk about this one. What an interesting card.
I love this.
So fascinating.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. There we go. Now you got to say sorry to Ken.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ken. I'm sorry, Ken.
Thank you. Carolyn, my God, what are we doing? There's something so interesting about the fact that like every creature is an ETB creature these days. Everything's got an ETB. And then it's just kind of like, what are we doing? I'm just a body now.
Yeah.
I'm going to blink it. Guess what? Bam.
Your metamorphosis fanatic. Up.
Hushbringer? Damn.
Hushbringer. That's a banger. I love that one.
Hushbringer is it on both ways, like ETB and LT dying?
I think it's ETB and death.
Dying. Yeah. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Jan. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you like in a set that is scratching at your brain?
Well, it should come as no surprise to my listeners that Erdu, Carrier of Dawn, is right up there. I've been dying for a commander to have persist on your entire board, or undying if who cares, you know, undying or persist in multiple colors in the command zone. Really into it. Not to mention creature spells you have, creature spells you cast have Convoke is also like a line of text that I have wanted in colors I care about for a long time. So Erdu is absolutely one that was spoiled a while ago, definitely scratching an itch for me. Abigail is up there, but I think the one that I'm kind of like gonna slowly warm myself up to because I see it and I go, I've clocked it. I like you a lot. I think you're fun. You're cool. It's Bree of Clan Stoutarm. Have you seen this one?
Ooh, yes, I have.
So fun. Look, there are plenty that are interesting, like Sanar or Reese Kirill, but Bree of Clan Stoutarm is such an elegant retelling of the Brion Stoutarm card.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brion Stoutarm is a 4/4 giant for 2 red white that for, I believe it's like white and tap, you sacrifice a creature and Brion deals that much damage equal to that creature's power to target player. And he has lifelink, so you're gaining it. Meanwhile, Bree of Clan Stoutarm is, you know, 2 red white for a 4/4 giant warrior, kind of similar. Then 1 and a white tap another target creature you control gains flying and lifelink, which is kind of like throwing a creature at an opponent and gaining the life for it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the flavor here. And then it also has this crazy text, which is at the beginning of your end step, if you've gained life this turn, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost if the spell's mana value is less than or equal to the amount of life you gain this turn. Otherwise, put it into your hand. Sorry, we're pseudo-discovering at the end step because I've already done a big thing and gained life. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but like gaining life is already a payoff. Gaining life is protection. Gaining life is putting like a chasm between you and your opponents. But you're telling me that after I've gained life this turn by beating someone in the face with a harder to block creature out of nowhere, that I'm just gonna get to cast something from the top of my deck?
It's awesome.
That's sick.
That must feel so good to do every single turn. You just like, absolutely. I feel like you've just gotta hit this commander when it comes down.
You can't let this thing stick around. That's
you cast
why
it on turn 4, odds are you probably already gained life this turn.
Yeah, you cast it on turn 4. I hope you also played your Swiftfoot Boots or your Lightning Grooves and some way to equip the boots, because if you only ramped, you didn't ramp. I hope you ramped. Please don't ramp.
Of course.
My God. Yeah, this is another one that I'm pretty hyped on. All that to say, Lorwyn Eclipse looks pretty friggin' sick.
It's awesome. Looks
pretty friggin' sick. Carolyn, it's been fun chatting with you, but we've gone for about an hour or so, and that's the time I promised that we would tie things up. Plus, it's dinner time. Let's all get out of here. Let's scoot the day.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Remind folks, hell yeah, that's nice. Thank you. I'm glad you had a good time. And honestly, come on back whenever you want. Bring another pet peeve. Chalk up those stories. Get them on the board. Be a villain. Come on back and talk about it.
Yeah, and I have plans to go be a menace at my local game store to come back with stories specifically for you. You know, all of these gamers are going to have you to thank for the horrible experience they'll have.
You tell them going in, I'm not even asking if I'm the bolus. I know I am. That's the point. And it's sanctioned by Mike himself. So you go give him hell for it.
Yeah, Mike says it's okay.
That's right. Shout out to all the bull cuts out there. I haven't decided if I'm calling the fan. You know how people have a name for their fans?
Of course.
I thought of bull cuts and I thought it was so funny. And so far, no one's responded to it. But I think I'm sticking with bull cuts.
I think you have to. Yeah. I
think the anti-joke is where it's at. I think that's where we got to lean. Anyway, Carolyn, you're on Twitter. You're on Twitch at @Caro_IRL. Make sure to subscribe. Is there any parting thought you want to leave with before we scoot the day and get out of here?
I think that one thing I've learned as I've grown older is that sometimes you have to embrace being the villain. Sometimes you have no choice but to be the villain, you know? Sometimes you just have to be the bolus.
Yeah.
You have to embrace the darkness inside of you. Hey, it's thematic. Lorwyn Eclipse, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. Come on, guys. Sorry.
And there it is. That's a perfect out. We're going to leave on that. Good night, everybody. It is nighttime. No matter where you are right now, because of Lorwyn Eclipse. Later.